Hi, I'm Rana Cross, and I'm going to start off by praying. Father in heaven, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak to this group and just ask for your spirit to take over and whatever you have in my notes to say and whatever is not there that needs to be said. I just pray that you penetrate the hearts and minds of every person in this room, and somehow I pray that your story in my life meets them where they are and helps them deal with whatever they're feeling right now. I ask for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I always feel humbled because I know who I was, so when I'm asked to share my testimony, but I also feel honored because of who I am today in Christ. At the same time, when I'm asked to share, especially to a group, it kind of puts me on alert, because if you've been asked to speak before, you know that when God asks you to share your story with a big group, he's getting ready to work you over in a really big way. So I ask you to pray for me too. The topic tonight obviously is facing loneliness, and your first session was on what is happening to me, which I think should be called what is happening to me. But I'll tell you what happened to me. My husband and I were high school sweethearts. We grew up in Oklahoma, and we moved to North Carolina when we got married. We moved to Boston then later in 1997, and then 7 years later in 2004, we moved our family from Boston to Dallas. And during that time, I really didn't think about Jesus. And if someone else brought him up, I kind of shut that down and said, you know, I don't want to talk about that because I don't believe in him. I don't believe what you believe. It didn't make sense to me, the whole... Well, God didn't make sense to me either, but Jesus didn't make sense to me that he could be the only way to heaven. And God didn't make sense because the stories in the Bible about, you know, the man in the sky created the world in 7 days, that didn't make sense to me either. So I didn't buy it because it didn't make sense to me. And in most of my 20s and 30s, I thought that I was God. I was an atheist, and I was pretty straightforward about it. I thought I was responsible for all of the great things that were happening in my life, and it looked like a pretty fabulous life from the outside. My husband was an Olympic gold medalist, and he was working with the Harvard wrestling team. He was also a financial advisor at a global investment banking firm. I was a successful attorney, and I was running my practice group as an associate. We have a son and a daughter, and both of them are healthy and gifted, athletic, smart. People actually would call us the perfect couple and the perfect family, and we actually were arrogant enough to believe it. We would say to ourselves when we were by ourselves, hey, somebody has to be the perfect couple. Why not us? Can't you just smell the pride and arrogance with that? I just think it's disgusting when I tell that story now, but that's my journey. So while the outside looked like the all-American family, the inside was just a chaotic mess. Drugs and partying had become part of our lives, and addiction became an issue. And after doing everything I could think of to save my 20-year relationship and 11-year marriage, I filed for divorce in 2005. I felt rejected, angry, ashamed, humiliated, embarrassed, and afraid. And I felt very alone. I felt like probably many of you feel today. I also had choices to make, like all of us do today. So the first choice over time was to choose to believe in God. And while this may be a no-brainer for most of you, since I didn't believe later in life, I don't want to take it for granted that you do. So you've talked in divorce care about a relationship with Jesus being the foundation for healing. So I'll share with you how I fell in love with him. And it started with the choice to believe in God. So since I didn't believe in God when I first got divorced, I didn't turn to him for comfort. I didn't even think about coming somewhere like this and having this kind of a support group or this kind of a structure. I didn't think about him until it was time to try and sell my house before the bank foreclosed on it. And I remember lying in bed, tossing and turning alone, and I thought about God, and I thought, you know, God, if you're out there, it would really be nice to have some help with this house. And I remember saying that to him, and we got an offer on September 25th, which is my son's birthday, and we closed on October the 3rd, which is my grandmother's birthday. So that's 8 days, if you do the math. It's no coincidence that the offer and the closing were on my family's birthdays. It's also no coincidence that I'm sharing our story with you today, because tomorrow is October 3rd. 6 years ago, God sold my house. Watermark didn't know that when they asked me to speak here, and I didn't even realize it until Sunday when I was putting this together. So who is big enough to know and orchestrate that timing? Allie, no one. Some of my neighbors never did sell their houses, but God sold mine in 8 days. That's when I started to believe in God. Kind of had to hit me over the head with it. It's also when I realized that I wasn't alone. I look back at where I was 6 years ago, and even though I felt lonely, I was never alone, and you aren't either. So that would be one thing I would just ask or hope and pray that you please take with you, is that you are never alone. In Hebrews 13:5, God promises, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And as a woman who was abandoned by her husband, this promise means the world to me. He's always with me, and he's always with you. So choose to believe in God, and choose to believe in his promise, and just believe that you're never alone. Choosing to believe in Jesus was another choice that I made. I believed in God after he sold my house, but I still didn't buy the Jesus part for 2 more years. I just didn't make sense to me that he was the only way to heaven. God led me to Jesus through his people. People at Watermark, actually. I had one friend from Watermark who prayed for my family and me for 10 years. There's a whole string of Watermarkers that did just that for me. But God used the pain of my divorce to lead me to Jesus. And if you don't believe in him yet, he's using your divorce to lead you to him too. And if you do believe, he's using it to bring you closer to him. So God used a Bible study with two women from Watermark to lead me to Jesus. And through studying the book of John, God showed me who Jesus was, and I really fell hard for him. I mean, I literally fell in love with him. I was reading about, you know, just the whole story and how he handled everything and his presence and his character and his strength. And I just remember thinking, this is the man I've been looking for. And I became so emotionally invested in him that when it came time to read the crucifixion, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't imagine this torture happening to him. So I told the women at Watermark that we were doing a study, you know, and I showed up and I said, I didn't do the study because I can't read it. It's just too much for me. And one of them offered to read the crucifixion and the resurrection to me. And after she did, we prayed. And during the prayer, I felt God saying to me, you know, what are you waiting for? And in that tiny little moment, I finally understood what faith is, that I wasn't going to be able to make sense of everything, that I wasn't going to be able to figure God out. And I was ready to trust the God I'd come to know and to follow the Jesus that I'd fallen for. That was in 2008. So another choice is to choose to turn to Jesus. About a year later, I recalled learning that the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. And so I decided to make that more personal, and I decided to consider Jesus my husband. And this choice has been a consistent cure for loneliness. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So do you feel weary? I know I felt weary when I was in divorce care and burdened, and I still do. Regularly, but he revives me. You know, Jesus never lets us down. He protects us. He provides for us. He listens no matter how long you talk. He always knows what to do. He never leaves. You can always count on him. And if you have kids, I use this too as a single parent. When I don't want to answer my kids about when they ask me to do something, I'm like, go pray about that and let me know what Jesus says for you to do. I promise that works. You know, it's hard to feel lonely when you realize that you're loved deeply enough that, you know, for Jesus, he knew I was going to reject him, and he still loved me enough to be nailed to a cross so I wouldn't have to pay for it. And he loves you that deeply too. So if there's one thing I would emphasize to every single one of you, it's to discipline yourself to go to Jesus when you feel lonely. And just tell him everything. I mean, yes, he already knows, but there is something powerful that happens when you cry out to him. And I had a moment not too long ago just in my closet crying out to him. So just try that. Even if you don't have to believe me, just try it. Another choice is to choose to be pure. And that has been a real antidote to loneliness, the choice to be sexually pure. I also started praying what I call my man prayer about 6 years ago, which can be a woman prayer too, by the way. And it has worked wonderfully. Okay, so the man prayer goes like this, but my friend Brandon Slay actually gave this to me as a woman prayer that he was praying, but so I adapted it for myself. And it's, Father, if being with a man is not your plan for me right now, please take away my desire until you're ready with your man in your timing. Your will, not mine, be done. So over time, I would, you know, pray this when I start thinking, oh, I'd really like to be with a man right now, or if I struggled with lust, or, you know, wanted the feeling of being in a relationship. And over time, you know, this has to happen to all of you. When you're talking with your friends and whoever, and they'll start asking you how things are going, and then inevitably you get the question, so are you dating anybody? Right? Are you dating anybody? And I noticed that I was saying, no, I really don't have the desire to. And that was kind of a pattern. I started noticing that I kept saying that. And I'd forgotten about my man prayer until I was looking at my journal, and I was like, oh, well, that's why I have no desire, because God answered my prayer and he took the desire away. So, thank you. And I know this has protected me from loneliness, because even though I'm single and have been sexually pure for more than 5 years, I truly am more content today than I was when I was married. Do I still feel lonely and afraid? Of course I do. But I choose to believe in God and his promises. I choose to lean on Jesus as my husband and to turn to him when I feel lonely. And I choose to be sexually pure to guard my heart and honor my future husband. I'm not engaged. I don't know who that is, but I'm just doing that to honor him anyway. But Proverbs 12:4 says that a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. And this verse motivates me. I have it on my bathroom mirror because I want to be that woman. So these are choices that have worked for me, and I know they'll work for you too. Even if you don't believe me, just try it. Just try it. He will amaze you with his comfort. Thanks for listening.